Texaco Star Theater. The more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast welcome you to an hour of mirth and melody with our star comedian, Fred Allen, Kenny Baker and Portland Hoffa, the Texaco Roundtable, the Martins and Al Goodman's Orchestra. It's Texaco time. Ladies and gentlemen, now that the weather is warmer, you folks will soon be getting outdoors to exercise and build yourselves up. We now bring you a man whose only build-up is the one I'm paid to give him every Wednesday. And here he is, Fred Allen in person.
Thank you, and say, it pays to take a bow. I just found a nickel on the floor. How do you like that?
It's good for a change.
Yes, a nickel. Well, for a change, nickel is as good for a change as anything else you can think of. Where do I start? On the next page? Oh, yes. Thank you. Is this your nickel? I know that they haven't started throwing money at the actors yet. I mean, the sponsors aren't that badly off. But thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And before we start, Jimmy, yes. You should talk, really. It just occurred to me. You should talk. Graham. Before we start, you should talk about build-ups. A man build-ups, about my build-up. A man of your ilk, your kidney, a man who has trouble trying to bash in the tops of two soft-boiled eggs every morning.
Why, Fred, I'm in the pink of condition.
Pink, spelled with a U, is it? Pink of condition. Jimmy, you are as weak as a horse player's willpower. Someday, Mr. That didn't get anything the first show. Well, we're not. We found out one thing. Horse players don't come to these things. We found out. Well, someday, through a process of elimination, we'll find out gradually who comes to broadcast. But someday, Mr. Wallington, you'll be called upon to lift something heavier than a dry martini, and I guarantee you that you will slump over, spent and exhausted.
Well, for your information, Mr. Allen, I'm 6'2" and I weigh 200 pounds. You put that together and you've got something.
Yes, you have got something. You can fry a lot of French fried potatoes in. You'll be getting fan mail from the Crisco people any minute now.
I suppose those bags under your eyes are muscles, huh?
Well, they certainly are. You mean these?
Those.
Why, certainly they're muscles. I have heavy eyelashes, Jimmy, and I blink a lot, you see. And I have developed these biceps under my eyes.
Oh, no.
I have. I'm very muscular about the eyes. I can look at a thing and lift it up in my glance. But don't forget, Jimmy, that I am a comedian. Listen, if I don't get word around soon, you know, nobody will be believing it. But I'm not supposed to be fit, Jimmy. I have to stay sickly to tell jokes about my condition. But after all, you a dashing announcer. You with that floor wax in your voice. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Well, what's the matter with me?
Well, to start, look at your feet. Now, Kubelik would pick either one of them up accidentally if he didn't have his glasses on.
My feet, huh? All right, I'm a big man, so my feet are a little flat.
A little flat? You are flatter than Goodman's Orchestra on a good day. Well, your arches have fallen so far, Jimmy, that when you stand still in a high wind, you rock.
Well, who sees my feet? My boot black and a few midgets. My face is my fortune.
Face? You mean that skin that's hanging down from your hair there with glasses hooked on it?
Now, Fred, look, this is unfair. You keep throwing cracks at me, and I don't get a chance to say anything about you.
Why don't you get a writer? I've got a writer, you see? That's what get a writer and have something to say when you... They laughed when I walked up to the microphone.
Well, I don't think I need a writer, really, but just let me try to get an insult in, will you?
All right, all right. I'm broad-minded. Comes the revolution, the announcers will get a point once in a while. So go right ahead, Jimmy. I can take it.
Well, Fred, you are so weak.
And weak reminds me it's time we turn to the latest news of the week. The Texaco News presents its highlight from the world of news. Washington, D.C. Government Weather Bureau reports that formal arrival of spring resulted in higher temperatures throughout the country. Newspapers report hundreds of calls from subscribers claiming to have seen first signs of spring in assorted places. At Sackbut, Minnesota, a man called up the editor of the weekly paper and said,
"Mercury went up to zero today. Spring is here."
At Hermit's Knob, Tennessee, a hillbilly told a friend,
"This morning I seen a Major Bowes unit coming out from under a rock. Spring is here."
At Haymo, Maine, a motorist wired his wife,
"I saw a man in Maine taking off his Wilkie button today. Spring is here."
At Sand Dune, Maryland, a truckman told a filling station attendant,
"I drive a laundry wagon. I ain't picked up no heavy underwear all week. Winter is going. Spring draws on."
And so it went. The arrival of spring was heralded everywhere but here in New York City. The only signs of spring one sees in Manhattan are the poems that appear in the weekly magazines. Tonight, Texaco News invites several obscure poets whose works weren't quite good enough for the pulp magazines to discuss their tributes to the newborn season. Our first unsung poet is Belvedere Sponge. You are a poet, Belvedere.
They call me Belvedere, the Bard of the Boulevard.
The Bard of the Boulevard?
Yeah, I work in a sanitation department. Yeah, I'm a highway sanitation.
Oh, you're a street cleaner.
Yeah, but it's only a pose. Beneath this dirty white coat beats the heart of a poet.
You don't say. You mean that you managed to combine street cleaning and poetry writing?
Yeah. Whilst all around me is decomposing, there I stand, composing.
I imagine it's difficult to pick you out. I mean, while you're... But, have you... How do you know when, where all around you stops and you start? I mean, when you're... Well, tell me, Belvedere, have you written many poems on the job?
A goodly few. There was one, Thoughts While Passing Minsky's.
Thoughts While Passing... Yes?
An Orchid on My Shovel Lay.
An Orchid on My... Oh, remarkable. Very good.
A Due to a Doobill Covered with Goo.
That is one of your better-known ones. I've never heard of that. Well, tell me, Belvedere, have you written a poem about spring?
Yeah, I'm calling it Signs Of.
Signs Of?
Signs Of.
How does it go?
Signs Of. Yikes away and tally-ho, with me broom and shovel away I go. Pushing me can down old Broadway, picking up this and letting that lay. In winter and summer, in sleet and snow, me and me can, away we go. Around Broadway as I'm scooping up scum, I see the first sign that spring has come. And what is that sign a street cleaner knows that tells him spring's in a breeze that blows? Is it the sign of the equinox? No, it's just an empty good humor box. When good humor cartoons in a gutter's lay, the street cleaner knows spring's here to stay.
Well, thank you.
I am finished. Oh, yeah. There's an afterlog.
Oh, you have an afterlog,
yeah.
Have you? Oh, excuse me.
Ado, mes dames and gents, I'm stepping out to lunch. I hope I leave you smiling. Yours sincerely, Belvedere Sponge.
Well rendered, and thank you, Belvedere Sponge. And now a young debutante who has written something, I believe. And your name, miss?
Consuelo Warburton.
You are a debutante, Consuelo?
Not quite.
Oh, you haven't come out?
Not quite.
Well, why not?
Well, to be brutally frank, I left finishing school unfinished.
Unfinished,
yes.
Did you really?
It was a black mark against me. I couldn't come out.
Well, weren't your parents upset?
Mater was furious. Pater was furious. There was a scene, and I left home.
You went to the YW?
No, I'm at the Plaza, temporarily roughing it.
Roughing it at the Plaza, I see. Well, are you looking for work, Consuelo?
No, I'm writing poetry. Odds and ends, mostly.
Well, have you brought some poems tonight?
Yes, I have several tablecloths with me.
Oh, you compose on tablecloths, do you?
Yes, I do all of my writing at the Stork Club.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yes, as soon as I finish a sonnet, Sherman removes the tablecloth and it's rushed to my publisher.
Oh, I see. Well, have you written a poem about spring?
Spring is obvious. My inspiration is eternally the obscure.
Oh, you concentrate on the obscure. What poem are you going to recite tonight?
I'd like to be an olive in the middle of the bottle.
I'd like to be an olive in the middle of the bottle.
Yes.
Well, you go right ahead.
I'd like to be an olive in the middle of the bottle. I would be as happy as a laughing little tottle. I wouldn't ask for money. My ambitions I would throttle if I could be an olive in the middle of the bottle. Oh, what joy to be an olive. What if I ferment? Oh, while men outside all fume and fret, I'd twiddle my pimento. Free from worry, strife, and woe, I'd care not whit nor jottle if I could be an olive in the middle of the bottle.
Thank you, Consuelo Warburton. And I hope you get your wish. Last, and I hope least, a gentleman who refuses to give his name.
I insist on appearing incognito.
Well, we're not mentioning your name, sir.
I'm a big man downtown.
Well, something shrank you on the way up.
The income tax did it. I settled last week.
Oh, everyone's shorter. Everyone's settled.
Yes, yes.
Well, you are in business?
I think so. I haven't seen the evening papers.
Well, tell me, how did you start writing poetry, sir?
I'm in business. There's no business. I have to have a hobby.
Well, naturally.
I started writing poems on memos and sending them to employees around the office.
What happened?
Employees sent them back.
Well, that I can understand.
Yes, but I'm not discouraged. I'm reciting here tonight.
I was afraid of that. I'm uncanny that way. I knew. I said, that rat, as you came in here, I said, that rat is going to recite. Well, what is your poem?
Well, I call it Spring in Reverse.
Spring in Reverse? How does it go?
Spring is the season when flowers and roots peek through the earth as tiny shoots. Spring is the time when plants grow and thrive and burst through the ground awake, alive. Tulip, daisy, and buttercup growing up, up, and up. But spring is the season in my affairs when the bulls hibernate and so do the bears. Spring is the time when my world turns red, when plants and branches all are dead. Nothing is up in my part of town. Everything's going down and down.
What business are you in, brother?
I'm a stockbroker.
That explains the whole thing. And thank you, Mr. Hoover. Now we turn from spring and poetry to Kenny Baker. Kenny improves our Latin relations without resorting to diplomatic gestures. Kenny merely sings Rendezvous in Rio.
When mandolins play, a rendezvous in Rio, when my heart stood still to a sweet serenade. We dreamed that melody we breathlessly romanced to couldn't die, and it turns out to be a tune that we once danced to. Each kiss that brought us gladness was only that madness of two hearts in pawn. We vowed to love forever, then learned forever ended with a dawn. We dreamed every thrill meant fulfillment. Oh, love slipped through our fingers, the memory still lingers of real rendezvous. Night our fortunes found us, with moonlight all around us, a setting for temptation. In Rio, with music to invite us, and rhythm to excite us, we took the invitation. That brought us gladness was only that madness of two hearts in fun. We vowed to love forever, then learn forever ended with a dawn. We dreamed every thrill meant there'd be sweet fulfillment. Oh, love slipped our fingers, the memory still lingers of Rio Rendezvous.
Thank you, Kenny. And now it's time for a word from Larry Elliott. Well, come, Larry, get on the job. This is no time to be reading that newspaper.
Oh, I'm sorry, Fred. I just happened to see something very important in this paper here.
Well, don't tell me they finally answered your letter in the Advice to the Lovelorn column.
No, Fred, this is important news.
Really?
About America's aerial training program. We're now building the greatest air force in the world. Today, almost 30,000 young Americans are learning how to fly.
Say, that is important news.
Yes, Fred, not only important to the country at large, there's also a thought there for all of us who never expect to fly a plane, but daily drive a car.
What is that, Larry?
Well, one of the first things those student pilots learn about flying is to relax. Their instructors always tell them not to grip the controls with tense hands. Relax, they tell their students. Then you can really fly your plane. It's the same with driving an automobile. The smooth driver is always at ease, confident. And that confidence comes in large measure from the feeling of constant yet flexible power under his control. And there is where the alert instant response of Texaco Sky Chief helps make smoother, better drivers. With Texaco Sky Chief, you've got eager, lively power underfoot, flexible power that puts you at ease, gives you a feeling of mastery over your car. It's fun to fly the highways with Sky Chief, Texaco's premium gasoline.
Thank you.
Goodman, Al Goodman and his potluck Philharmonic have just knocked Bublitschka off the hit parade. Well, hello, Portland. I didn't see you come in.
Hello, Mr. Alice.
Well, what are you looking for? Have you lost something?
Oh, I'm looking for a broom. I have to sweep up in front of the microphone.
Oh, not now. After the program. If you've read your contract, Clause 7 tells you just when and where the broom is.
But Canini Bakerino won't appear again unless the floor is spotless.
Canini Bakerino?
Uh-huh. That's Kenny Baker's new name.
Well, if Kenny thinks that changing his name is going to keep him out of the draft, he's silly. They have a way with fingers, they tell you to...
That's not it, Mr. Allen.
Well, what is it?
Kenny sang with the Chicago Women's Symphony last Sunday.
Oh, gone high hat, hey? Canini Bakerino. He could call himself John Charles Fink. And he would still be Kenny Baker the Dope.
Well, Canini says he's going across the water to study.
Oh, Canini's going to Europe?
No, Staten Island.
Staten Island. Staten Island, the old cultural center. You know, the last time the opera played Staten Island, they took out the last two acts of Faust and put in Bingo, they tell me. Worked out very well.
Pretty Pagliacci.
Who is that? Who is that?
Canini Bakerino.
Hi, folks.
Now, all right, come out from behind that aria, Kenny. We know you, Kenny.
Canini to you, Canini Bakerino.
Canini Bakerino. Well, that's... Well, that sounds like an Italian hors d'oeuvre.
That's the name I used when I sang with the Chicago Women's Symphony.
No kidding. How did you go over there? Did you go over...
I was a musical triumph. One critic says I was a fiasco.
A fiasco. Well, say, in Chicago, that is no small praise, a fiasco. Do you realize that when Singing Sam sang Rigoletto in Chicago, the critics... Well, that was his encore. I nearly said what... Do you realize that when Singing Sam sang Rigoletto in Chicago, the critics to a man were conservatively noncommittal?
And Kenny got a
Sam
wonderful...
Even... Wait a minute. We've got to get Sam back to life. Now, Sam... Sam is laid out here in the script, fellas. Gee whiz.
Kenny got a wonderful ovation at Mr. Allen.
Yeah, but those rowdy sailors in the audience spoiled it.
Sailors at a symphony concert?
Yes. When I finished my number, they yelled, "Anchor! Anchor!"
That's encore! Encore!
Once when I, Goodman, was a singing waiter in a Hungarian restaurant, at me they are yelling, "Bis!"
In Hungarian, "Bis!" means encore?
In Hungarian, "beast" means "shut up, slob, and serve the salmon."
Well, "beast," and let's get on with the show then. "Beast" work here. We ought to get more money. Now, come on, let's pull ourselves together.
No, I refuse to go on until this stage is cleaned up.
What's wrong with this stage? If it's clean enough for me to lay an egg on, it's certainly clean enough for you to sing on.
But my tails will drag in the dust.
What tails?
I'm having a full dress suit delivered to me tonight in time for my next number.
Kenny, you are not going to make this program look like a mortician's anteroom. Walking around here in soup and fish. I never heard of it.
But I rented one for the Chicago Woman Symphony, and look at all the applause I got.
Oh, people were applauding your voice, not your suit.
How could it be my voice? I was the same old corny Joe.
Kenny, please.
Gosh, Kenny, I can't wait to see you in a full dress suit.
It ought to be here any minute, Porty. I bought it at Schleep's Clothing Company.
The Schleep Clothing Company?
Yeah, I got a buy for $4.98, a full dress suit with two pairs of pants and a belt in the back.
Did it come with knickers or did you get the old-fashioned full... A full dress suit with belt in the back?
And 2 pounds of mothballs.
No kidding. On the side, a la carte, or in the suit. Well, now look, Kenny, this Schleep Clothing Company sounds to me like some pushcart outfit.
Oh, it's a big clothing chain, F.A. Haven't you heard the radio program?
No, I...
Well, they broadcast Schleep opposite us. They're on the air now.
Oh, no. They must have lots of listeners.
Never mind that, Portland. I don't... That could be true, too.
I gotta tune in right now. They're playing one of my records. I made a deal with them.
I'll turn on the radio.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the Sleep Clothing Company presents Transcription Time, featuring Kenny Baker.
Some plug, huh, F.A.?
Kenny sings as his first number, You Walked By.
Oh, you are...
Men, don't be suckers. Don't miss this great closing out sale at the Sleep Clothing Company. Suits formerly priced at $140 are yours for $12.98. Woolens, flannels, herringbones, cheviots, tweeds, and worsteds. Take advantage of this great closing out sale. Be a wolf in Sleep's clothing. And now, for your musical entertainment, we return you to Kenny Baker.
Oh, that's fine. What does he do now? Sing a quarter note for an encore?
And now, then, while Kenny Baker prepares his encore, remember you have only until midnight tonight to act. The Sleep Clothing Company is through tonight. We're licked. Our lease is up. Also, we are bankrupt. The store is on fire right now. We're through. This is positively our last night in business. It's goodbye, Broadway. Sleep is through. Finished. Done.
Tune in again tomorrow night and every night for news of more bargains at Sleep. And now, the Fosdick Cafeterias bring you that stirring drama of everyday life, Heartburn House.
Turn that thing off. And Kenny, forget about that dress suit. Come in.
Oh, this must be my suit now.
Who's Kenny Baker?
I am.
My name is Sleep.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah, this is Mr. Krieger. I'll tell him, Mr. Baker. Okay, Krieger. Neck 13.
Neck 16.
Waist 34.
Waist 43.
Sleep.
Now, wait a minute. What do you guys think you're doing?
We ain't debating the lend-lease bill, brother. Vest 19.
Vest 7.
What is this? You say waist 43, Krieger says 34. You say vest 19, Krieger says 7.
Can I help it? Krieger don't take no orders from nobody. Hips 56.
Hips 23.
Sleeve 33.
Sleeve 56.
Now, wait a minute. Do you mean to tell me that you can afford to make a suit to order for Kenny for $4.98?
Well, our advertised price is $12.98. We allow Baker $8 on that old suit he's got on.
Oh.
Sure. Chest 32.
Chest 14 and a half.
Okay, Baker, your suit will be ready in the morning.
Now, I still don't get it. $12.98 for a tailor-made full-dress suit.
Look, buddy, $12.98 is the list price. Yeah. We're allowing Baker $8 for the suit he's got on. Yeah. Balance, $4.98. Isn't that the deal, Baker?
That's the deal.
I still don't get it.
Well, we got to get back to the plant now. Okay, Baker, take off our suit.
Now I get it.
Hey, but this is my suit.
You just traded it in to us for $8, right?
That's right. But I can't take this suit off till I get the full dress suit.
That's our suit, buddy. I'm sorry.
But I have to have a suit on when I sing my next number.
Look, I think we can settle the whole thing.
Good.
Even if it does cost us money, we want you to be happy.
Fine, fine.
Tell me, Baker, how do you like that suit you got on?
I like it fine. I've had it for 4 years.
What does the young lady think of it?
Oh, I think it looks swell on Kenny.
Okay. Now, as you know, Baker, we allowed you $8 on that suit. Give us $8 for it and it's yours. So we don't make a penny, but we make a friend.
Well, I'm not going to stand by.
Oh, don't worry, F.A. I can take care of myself.
You can take
care of
me.
Well, Baker, $7 and not a penny more.
You're a hard man, Baker. Okay, we'll take the $7.
Kenny.
The deal, mister. Here's your money.
Okay. Let's go, Krieger. That's Uckersay 32,
Uckersay 44...
Kenny, of all
this... Oh, boy, did I put one over on them.
You put one over on them?
Yeah, didn't you get it?
Get what?
They forgot the sales tax.
Oh, that's done it. Music, maestro.
Oh, dear, what can the matter be, dear, dear? What can the matter be, oh, dear? What can the matter be, Mary, so long at the fair? Mary goes round on her merry-go-round as the music plays. She gaily shouts as she goes round about on her holiday. Cymbals ring and zing as she she takes a swing and grabs at a ring. Calliope's play the day away. Each hour is one sweet song. And Mary, Mary goes round on her merry-go-round as the ponies glide. Even the grown-ups don't want to be shown up. They ride and ride. What a treat to feel the beat of the thumping drum.
As Mary goes up and down and down and
round and round on her merry-go-round.
Cymbals ring and zing as she takes a swing and breads at a ring. They play the day away. Each hour is one sweet song.
Mary goes round on her merry-go-round as the ponies glide.
Even the grown-ups don't want to be shown up. They ride and ride.
What a treat to feel the beat of the thumping drum.
As Mary goes up and down
on her merry-go-round.
Completed. Mary goes round on her merry-go-round.
Mr. Allen, can I borrow a pencil?
A pencil for what? Did one of our fans want you to autograph his straitjacket?
No, it's on account of Mama. If anybody says anything good tonight, she wants me to write it down and tell her when I get home.
Oh, well, look, if your mother wants to know what's going on around here, why doesn't she just turn on her radio and listen?
She can't find her radio on account of the smoke.
What smoke?
Well, last Christmas, Mama got mad at Santa Claus.
Yeah.
So she plugged up the chimney of the fireplace to keep him out.
So?
So tonight, Mama forgot about the chimney and built a fire. Now, smoke's just pouring out of the fireplace, and the house is so full of smoke.
Your mother can't find her radio. Uh-huh. Fine, I could have told it in half the time. Well, all right. Here's a pencil, Portland, and here's something to write down to tell your mother. It's a brief dissertation by Jimmy Wallington on the subject of smoking fireplaces.
Smoke pouring from an open fireplace means trouble, and so does smoke puffing from the exhaust of a car. For when a car smokes, it's likely due to excessive wear that will cost a pretty penny to correct. So before the exhaust pipe marks your car as a smoker, do the wise thing this spring. Get rid of that thin, worn winter oil and make a complete change to insulated Havoline at your Texaco dealer. Insulated Havoline stands up to high engine temperatures that break down ordinary oils and endanger vital parts. Insulated Havoline is also distilled. It's free from carbon-forming impurities that clog engines and speed up wear. So change to the proper grade of oil for warm weather and steer clear of smoke and trouble by changing to insulated Havoline at your Texaco dealer. The Texaco Star Theater continues immediately after a short pause for your station identification. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You've just heard Rhythm is Red, White, and Blue, an appropriate overture for our Texaco Roundtable, the only roundtable in radio, ladies and gentlemen, that specializes 100% in trivia. Now, our three guests from the studio audience are ready for their unrehearsed participation, and Portland calls the roll. Portland,
yes,
please.
Mr. Ray Marr of Flatbush, Brooklyn.
Well, good evening, Mr. Marr.
Good evening, Mr. Allen.
You live in Flatbush, do you?
I do, sir.
And as a resident of Brooklyn, I take it that you are a loyal Dodger. Dodger, Rooter?
Yes, sir. Very definitely, Mr.
Definitely,
Allen.
Definitely, huh?
That's right.
Do you think the Dodgers will win the pennant this year in the National League?
I do. I think we'll end up winning the pennant this year.
That is the Brooklyn conception.
Help of Medwick, Mickey Yone, and the good Lord.
Well, he will play the outfield as usual, of course. But I think that Brooklyn has a good chance to win the pennant this year, Mr. Marr. I'll tell you why. With all of the ball players being drafted, Brooklyn is very lucky. With all of the old men they have playing, they will probably be the only team at the end of the season that still has 9 men left on. And for that, tell me, do you work here in New York or in Brooklyn, Mr. Marr?
I do. I work out of New York. New York is a headquarters, Mr. Allen, and I'm a special representative, so to speak, for the Beechnut Packing Company.
Beechnut? Oh, the people make the gum?
Yes, that's right. We make gum, too.
And a lot of other things, too, huh?
Yes, a lot of other things. I'm particularly concerned in the distribution.
I was going to ask you that. Isn't that funny? You took the words out of my mouth, Mr. Marr. What is it you are particularly interested
in? I'm concerned particularly, Mr. Allen, in the distribution of coffee.
Oh, in coffee?
Yes, sir.
Well, do you find in your coffee selling, Mr. Marr, that carrying coffee around with your sample case bumping into your leg, do you find that it stops your foot from going to sleep, that coffee so near your...
No, it doesn't.
Well, that's very interesting, and thank you, Mr. Marr. That's always worried me. I know a man who was so coffee conscious, he used to go through on a sleeper. He'd wake up going through Coffeeville, Kansas. I mean, that man was so sensitive. And now, Portland...
Mrs...
Excuse me, do you care for some gum, anyone?
Oh, pardon me. Mrs. Pauline Kelly of Jackson Heights, New York.
Well, good evening, Mrs. Kelly.
Good evening, Mr. Allen.
You, Jackson Heights, New York.
Jackson Heights.
That is the garden spot of Long Island,
isn't
it?
Yes.
Well, tell me, what do you do for excitement over there in Jackson Heights?
Well, I don't know, as I could say, but it's a lovely place to bring up children.
It is a lovely place to bring up children,
yes.
Huh? Well, tell me, do you spend much time listening to the radio over there?
Oh, yes.
Say,
we
there's
always
one...
listen on Wednesday night.
Wednesday night.
9 to 10.
To that man who's
yes.
on for the half hour. Yes.
No.
I get that. But tell me, I was going to ask you about, have you ever, you know, all these surveys, the popularity of these shows is based on surveys, and they're supposedly calling up all hours of the day and night around the suburban areas here. Have you ever been called up by any of the radio surveys?
No, I haven't.
You never have. Have you ever met anyone who was called up that you know of?
No.
Well, neither have I. You know, I think those survey people spend all of their time calling each other up. Well, thank you, Mrs. Kelly. And now, Portland?
Master Larry Robinson of New York City.
Well, good evening, Larry.
Good evening, Mr. Allen.
How old are you, Larry?
I'm 11 years old.
Larry, you're 11 years old. Aren't you tired being up this late at night?
No, I'm not.
You're not tired. But Mr. Ma mentioned his coffee samples. I suppose that gave you a lift there for a second. Well, tell me, what is your profession, Larry? Are you in business?
I'm on the stage and radio.
You're on the stage and radio, too? Not at the same time.
No, not
that's
the
not,
same time.
That's not you all over, I mean. It is
no,
you.
No.
Have you been in any of the New York shows, have you?
Yes, sir. I've been in Life with Father.
Life with Father? Well, that's still playing. Are you in it now?
No, sir, I'm not.
You're not in it? Why?
Well, I got too big. They didn't want to get another pair of pants, or they got another boy.
Well, Larry, it just goes to show you how important actors are to producers and managers. And it should be very helpful for you to have learned it so soon. You see, they will sell an actor out for a pair of pants any time. And now that you know that, be on your guard as you go through life carrying out the remainder of your career, which will be long and successful, I know, Larry. Well, that brings us to our question. And tonight, we take up a minor matter that has to do with parents and their children. Psychiatrists, excuse me if I drool. Psychiatrists, and you watch me, Larry, and you tell me. Psychiatrists and authorities on child education today claim that certain accepted practices are outmoded. Some educators say that children should not have homework to do after school, and that children should not be regimented by dancing, music, and dramatic lessons. One authority on child behavior
says that spanking a child tends to cause nervous strain and assorted complexes in later life. This, mark you, despite the fact that philosophers down through the ages have maintained spare the rod and spoil the child, I believe was the old maxim. Now, our question is tonight, we won't have time to go into all of it. Our question is, do you think children should be spanked, or do you feel that lumbar chastisement is injurious to the child? Now, Mr. Marr, do you have a family? Are you the head of a family?
Yes, I am, Mr. Allen, and I have a young son, 14 years of age.
14 years old. Now, how do you feel about spanking?
Well, I think that youngsters should be given the brush, so to speak, or rather spanking.
You mean not given the old brush, get them out of the place.
For the first 6 or 8 years, I think a spanking on occasion is very much in order. But after that, I think the other forms of training would take the place of using the rod.
The spanking. Yes. In other words, when they get big enough, you only hit the child in self-defense.
That's what I... mean,
You have something there, Mr. Marr. I'll weigh that over. We're going through the form. Ham, I might come back if I have time to that later. Mrs. Kelly, do you have a family, may I ask?
Yes, I have. 4 children.
You have 4 children,
yes.
Really?
Yes.
How do you feel about the spanking problem?
Well, I feel that when they're young, spanking is very good for them. But when they get older, I think denying them something that they want very much has a greater effect upon them.
In other words, you think that depriving a child of something impresses it more is more apt to result in the accomplishing what you want to in the way of the child's training.
Well, I think they'll think of it longer.
They'll think of it. Yes. The minute the spanking disappears, the physical effect of it, the whole thing's forgotten, huh?
Yes.
Despite the fact that it's done behind their backs, they know what's going on. Well, thank you, Mrs. Kelly. And now, Larry... our 11-year-old man who grew out of the pair of trousers in life with father. I had the same trouble, but I grew out of with the Schuberts years ago, and I grew out of some tights, Larry. I meant it to, but tell me how do you feel about spanking?
Well, I think you should be spanked at all years of age if you're really purposely bad, if you mean to be bad.
If you mean to be bad, no matter how old a boy is, he should be spanked, huh?
Yes.
Have you been spanked much?
Yes, a few times.
A few times. And you think you've deserved it, do you?
Yes, I do.
You think at the particular time you were taken over the knee that you deserved it, huh?
Yes, I'd rather be spanked than have something taken away from me or not go to movies or something.
You would. Well, that's very interesting to hear, Larry. You know, there are little boys downtown, sharp little boys, who, when their parents spank them, run out and get a lawyer and come back and sue the parents for assault. But you don't believe in that, do you?
No.
Well, I think our round table stands fairly well in accord on the spanking question. I haven't time to take the vote now on account of Mr. Marr's coffee samples. I saw where he put them, and I want to be the first one out. But I personally feel that we have accomplished here, what we have accomplished here tonight, is strictly a matter of opinion. I think that where spanking is concerned, children will still have to grin and bear it. And when a parent puts a child on his knee, it will not be to give an imitation of Edgar Bergen. Spanking is sort of a slap-happy device. The child takes the slap, and the parent, for the moment, is happy. On this percussion observation, our round table adjourns. And thank you, Mr. Marr. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenny minus dress suit, $7, frivolous demeanor, and an opinion on spanking, returns to sing Velia from The Merry Widow.
Dwelt on a time in a forest of sighs, one Velia, a nymph with mysterious eyes. One day a young hunter encountered there, one look and his heart he gave in. Heart that is
dying of love. Vilja, oh Vilja, I pray thee to rest here with thy head on my breast. Vilja, oh Vilja, my one precious dove, pity the heart that is dying of love. Vilja, oh Vilja, I pray thee to rest here with thy head on my breast. Here in my
thank you very much.
Pardon me, brother.
Well, just, I beg your pardon. Who are you?
The name is Zero, Nero Zero, creator of cold weather comedy. I'm holding my annual spring clearance of cold weather gags. I can let you have some wows cheap.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry.
Let me
I
give
don't...
you a sample. Now, get this one. Get this one. It was so cold last winter, three snowmen walked out of my yard and tried to get into the house.
No, please,
here's another one. It was so cold last winter, I saw an icicle wearing earmuffs.
No, please. No, wait a minute.
And here's another one. It was so cold
now,
last
just
winter...
just a minute. Look, you don't need anybody for these jokes. You are telling them and enjoying them. Now, what do you want to let anybody break up that combination for? Nero, Mr. Zero, you are wasting your time, not to mention the wear and tear on your larynx. I am not in the market for cold weather jokes right now. Why, this is spring, Nero. Winter is a dead issue.
Oh, I wouldn't say that, Fred.
You wouldn't, Jimmy?
Winter may be passé for comedy, but it's still a vivid memory to many motorists. For any driver will admit that cold weather puts a gasoline to the severest test of any season. And again, during this recent winter, more and more motorists switched to Texaco Fire Chief. They put Fire Chief to the cold weather test, and it came through consistently with brilliant, flashing performance. They're going to stay with Fire Chief the year round, and there's a mighty good reason why. Fire Chief is the famous all-action gasoline. The slow-action duds, those sluggish, worthless elements, are out of Fire Chief. That's what gives Fire Chief its surefire starts, lively acceleration, stamina in the long run. So next time, try famous Texaco Fire Chief gasoline. There's not a dud in a tank full.
And now the Texaco Workshop Players. Tonight they present a burlesque of one of radio's most popular programs, Haven Macquarie's Marriage Club. Our version is called The Wedlock Society, or Troth and Consequences. Music.
The Wedlock Society. Brought to you by the makers of...
Misto, the new mystery all-purpose hair tonic.
Men, are you suffering from falling hair, the medical term for falling hair? Try the Misto 8-hour workout today. Here's all you have to do.
Slop a 2-quart jug of Misto over your balls. Rub briskly for 8 hours. If at the end of 8 hours you have not grown a 4-inch patch of new hair, return your empty Misto bottle to us. We will cheerfully refill it, resell it to you, and you can have another go at that bald spot.
Don't forget, folks, Misto, the mystery all-purpose hair tonic.
Misto grows hair.
Misto mends furniture.
Misto tastes delicious on your pancakes.
And now Misto presents the Wedlock Society.
Each week, as you know, the Wedlock Society visits a lodge in a different city, interviewing couples on the joys and heartaches of married life. Tonight, Misto brings you the Wedlock Society's large meeting from Nutley, New Jersey. And here is our moderator, Mr. Raven McSorry.
Well, thanks, brides and grooms, and welcome one and all to this meeting of the Nutley Lodge of the Wedlock Society. As we convene here tonight, let us give thanks to Cupid, who first joined our hands together in wedlock,
and started us down the pathway of life, ready to clip our coupons from the bonds of matrimony. Now, is our first loving couple ready?
Yes, Raven. Ben? Will you old folks step up to the microphone this way?
Okay.
Right here, madam.
Hey?
Folks, I wish you could see this devoted and tottering old couple, Mr. and Mrs. Obadiah Kelp. Welcome, Obadiah.
Thank you, thank you.
Welcome to the Wedlock Society, Mrs. Kelp.
Hey?
Now, Brother Kelp, where do you and your ever-loving spouse come from?
We come from right here in Nutley.
Hey?
And how long ago did you two get pelted with rice and hit on the head with old shoe?
Hey?
I'm speaking to your boyfriend, Mrs. Kelp.
She's deep. Don't pay her no heed.
Oh.
We've been married 37 years.
Adoring each other 37 years. Congratulations.
Hey?
Shut up, Cynthia. Speaking of daddy.
Oh.
Now tell me, Brother Kelp. How did you propose to this apple of your eye here?
Whole thing was a mistake.
Mistake?
Well, Cynthia was always deep as a haddock. One night we were sitting in the parlor. I start singing, Carry Me Back to Old Virginia.
Yeah?
Well, Cynthia being deep, first time I sung Carry Me, she thought I said marry me. Well, Cynthia yelled, I will, and I was hooked.
Hey?
Shut up, Cynthia.
And now for our first mighty interesting, Mr. Kelp. And now for our first wedlock question. A bottle of Misto, the all-purpose hair tonic, goes to Mrs. Beulah Park Plotnick of Pone, Georgia, for sending in the following question. And the question is, which do you think are smarter, husbands or wives, Mr. Kelp?
Husbands.
And Mrs. Kelp?
Hey!
Thank you, Mrs. Obadiah Kelp, for your brilliant answers. The makers of Misto present you two charter members of the Wedlock Society with these two crisp $5 bills and these two two-gallon jugs of Misto.
Gosh, thanks.
Hey!
Shut up, Cynthia!
As you old sweethearts creep down Lover's Lane with your jugs of Misto tightly clutched to your breasts, remember the words of Tony Wands. Our first love and our last love is the same love. That's love. Now, our next turtle dovers, Mr. and Mrs. Homer Swan. Good evening, lovers eternal.
Hello.
I'm feeling faint, Homer.
Don't get nervous, little lady.
Mine is always fainting.
Now, how long since you two were welded by Cupid's blowtorch?
10 years. Seems like 50.
And how many bundles of bliss has the progeny pigeon dumped down your chimney?
I feel faint, Homer.
Not now, Myrna. What was that question again, mister?
How many little feet patter around your floor as night falls?
Oh, hundreds. We got mice.
No, Homer,
I'm gonna faint, Homer. Oh!
Your wife has fainted, Homer.
She's always fainting. And my water bill last month was $42.
Well, we've got to bring her, too. Get some water, organist.
There isn't any water, Raven.
Well, throw some Misto on her.
Okay.
Where am I?
Misto brought her, too, all right.
Hey, look what your Misto's done. Myrna's got a full beard. She looks like General Grant.
No!
She's fainted again.
I'll get her out of here. Which way is the barbershop?
Before you pick up this woman you cherish, the love light of your life, Homer Swan, the makers of Misto present you with these two crisp new $5 bills and these 2 gallon jugs of Misto.
Misto, thanks.
And now,
I'll get these jugs of Misto right home. I'll be back for Myrna later.
And as you walk down Lover's Lane in the twilight of life, brother and sister Swan, remember that Misto also comes in the handy full pint size for loving couples too weak to lift the big 2 gallon jug of Misto. Next, dearly beloved, and you, perennial handholders, are you, sister?
I'm Mrs. Eustace Prawn.
I'm Eustace Prawn.
I see you, Brother Prawn, are holding your wife's hand. Something tells me you've been holding her hand since your wedding day.
I have to. If I ever let go, she'll beat my brains out.
Well, before we get to your question, Mr. Prawn, let me initiate you into the Wedlock Society by presenting you with this big free 2 gallon jug of Misto.
No, thanks.
You will find that... What?
No, thanks. I don't want no Misto.
You're on a radio program and you're refusing a free sample?
You hide me. I don't want it.
Well, you can't refuse a free sample over the air.
Why can't I?
Why, you might start a trend. Free samples are the lifeblood of radio. If people start refusing free samples, goodwill will be destroyed. Radio is through. Take this, Misto.
Now.
But I tell you, you can't refuse. Do you want people mailing thousands of Encyclopedia Britannicas back to Information Please?
No, I just...
Do you want people to rebel and not send in their box tops or reasonable facsimiles? Do you want studio audiences to leave MCs with thousands of cakes of soap on their hands?
I just...
This Misto here is a token of goodwill. Take it.
Now.
Take this.
Quit choking me, will you?
Hey, take it easy, Raven. You'll goodwill him to death.
Okay. Now, please, Mr. Prawn, will you take this Misto?
Why should I?
Now, read him a commercial, Ted. Show him why he should.
All right, Raven. Now, Mr. Prawn, why not try a jug of Misto? Yeah. Misto is the new mystery all-purpose hair tonic.
Oh.
Misto contains corrodium hypothecate.
Oh, is that so?
Misto revitalizes the scalp.
Oh.
If your scalp is dull and logy, if your cowlick hangs down a lifeless bang, if you have whisk broom hair, use Misto.
Well, Mr. Prawn?
I still don't want to...
This is terrible. Why?
I got more hair now than I know what to do with.
You haven't got it with you.
No, I mean on my chest.
Oh.
I have to part my chest to zip up my union suit.
But Misto also contains glue at men's furniture.
I live in a trailer.
But Misto is delicious.
Gosh, Raven, the sponsor's coming out of the control room.
Mr. Bemis?
What's going on here, McSorry? Oh.
This man refuses to take a free sample of Misto, Mr. Bemis.
Refuses? He can't refuse. Misto will be the laughingstock of the country. If we can't give Misto away, how can we sell it?
You see, Mr. Prawn?
I still don't want it.
See, Mr. Bemis, he still doesn't want it.
Well, he's got to take it. But sorry, if you don't make this yuck take that free sample, you're fired.
Oh, yes? Come here, Prawn.
Look, I don't want...
Look, you don't want, Misto, the hair tonic.
I got hair.
Yeah, all right. You don't want, Misto, the furniture mender.
I got no furniture.
All right. Look, do you like pancakes?
Yeah.
Good. Misto tastes delicious on pancakes. Now, here's your free sample.
I only like pancakes plain.
But Misto is good for anything.
I don't like anything.
Prawn, you are the most cantankerous man I've ever seen. Yeah.
What's the matter with you, Prawn?
Look, I got insomnia. I can't sleep. Misto ain't good for that, is it?
It isn't, hey?
Hey, put down that jug. Hey, what are you going to do?
I'm curing your insomnia. Take this. His eyes closed. He's sleeping like a little baby.
Congratulations, McSorry. You found another use for Misto. It cures insomnia.
Quick, Ted, stick that free sample under Prawn's coat.
Okay.
Oh.
And so, folks, as we see Brother Prawn lying here, doubled up with his head resting against the microphone, we thought he was asleep, but he wasn't, with both eyes closed, merely dreaming of wedded happiness ahead. Let us all give thanks for the great institution of marriage. Marriage is the only union today that is functioning in harmony. And so, brothers and sisters of the Wedlock Society, good night. And now Larry Elliott sums up for the defense.
America has its timetable for the production and delivery of all the vital defense needs of our rearmament program. And when it comes to oil, a defense needs second to none. Everything is on schedule, right up to the minute. But that's not all. The petroleum industry is prepared with supply, production, and equipment to meet every emergency, even beyond the pace of the speed-up conditions of today. Petroleum is a real defense industry.
Thank you, Larry. This is Fred Allen saying goodnight for the more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast. We'll see you next Wednesday. Good night.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.